Good evening. This is the Men's Network Radio on KGVM 95.9 FM on your dial, or stream us at kgvm.org. Every Thursday night, 7 to 8 p.m., the Men's Network Radio is a resource for men on a journey of self-discovery and self-awareness. Well, it's about time we get some women involved on this show. And to be honest with you, this was the very first interview that I had with Jade, and it was quite a interesting interview. You'll just follow it. It's a business called Sensual Wisdom, and here's the show. This was the very first interview I did creating this show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Oh, today our guest is Jade Beatty.
Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
Think of bait.
Bait. Jade Beatty. I'll get this right eventually.
That's okay.
And introduce yourself, Jade. That'd be the best way to do it.
Okay. I'm Jade Beatty. I am in Hamilton, Montana these days. I've lived in Austin, Texas and Boulder, Colorado for most of my life. I started healing practice in 2000. My company name is Sensual Wisdom, and you can go to sensualwisdom.com to read more about it. I had been adventuring sexually from my 20s and found myself in all kinds of scenarios in Austin, Texas in the 70s. It was an idyllic place after growing up near Amarillo, Texas, and I just took full advantage of that little glimmer of time that we had after the pill and before AIDS. We called it sexual liberation, but it was confusing. We were confusing sex and love, and yet it was a transition, especially for women, to explore sexually in ways that we had never been allowed to do. And so I had some great times in Austin and was always curious about sexuality, even as a kid. Couldn't get any answers at all. You know, like I read every book in the high school library trying to find references to sex, couldn't find any. And so I decided I was just going to have to get experience, and that was the way I was going to learn. So I found a willing cohort, and I don't know, it was always something that I was just intensely curious about, interested in, and I wanted to understand more about intimacy and how to connect with people, and the whole sexuality piece was just so intriguing. So my practice has been working with individuals, men and women, as well as couples, and helping them clear the layers of shame, guilt, confusion that we all have installed by the culture, by the lack of education, by superstition and mythology around sex, and especially because there's been many, many eons of time where the feminine has been oppressed and diminished and devalued. And the 60s always also brought that forward, you know, the women's liberation. And yet, and again, that confusion of what that was going to look like. And we took these roles that had been in place for countless generations, and we blew it all up without having any kind of model for what we were going to be doing in male and female relationships. And there's still fallout, you know. I think men have not known exactly how to support that. They've kind of stepped back out of fear of doing the wrong thing.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because I'm sitting here thinking back in the 60s and 70s. I don't know about you guys out there, but for me, you know, and a lot of my buddies, the farthest thing from our mind was what the, at that time, girl or the woman was thinking or researching or wanting to inquire about sex themselves. We were in puberty, and next thing you know, it didn't matter. Now, as we carry forth our lives, how we interact with women became a whole different issue. Mm-hmm. For me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of guys out there are still trying to figure out how we can look at it differently, how we honor a woman and respect a woman's needs, mm-hmm. in regards to that and beyond that, with feelings and emotions and prior to even thinking about having an intimate relationship, mm-hmm. on a sexual level, but maybe an intimate relationship first on a personal level.
Sure. Yeah. I call that laying a foundation of trust and getting to know each other and having the discussions. Like in a new friendship that may become sexual, you want to have the conversations about history, number of partners, any sexually transmitted diseases in your past, you know, and herpes was just all around in the 70s. Everybody I knew had it, which might have been a clue. I don't know. But it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, it's just conversations that start kind of greasing the wheels for being vulnerable and asking questions and understanding what a person's relationship patterns are, finding out how they might talk about their exes, you know, and do you want them talking about you like that someday, that kind of thing. Like, can people have harmonious breakups? And, of course, our generation has been the first, really, for multiple marriages.
Well, that was going to be my next question, then. Yeah. I'm guessing you work with males too, with men,
uh-huh,
and their relationship. And these days, with so many divorces and non-marriages going on, and just relationships,
mm-hmm.
What do you do working with males in regards to that? Males that want to would like a strong relationship or more intimate relationship with a female rather than just a surface relationship. Mm-hmm. Would be my one question. And then my other question is, when you come across, especially younger males, is there any, do you see anything that, where they're just looking to hook up, for instance? I mean, is there a generation difference between older males and younger males in terms mm-hmm. of how they view their relationship with women at this point in their life? Let's say millennials versus midlife males in their mm-hmm. mid-30s to 50s.
That's interesting. I haven't worked with a whole bunch of millennials because my practice has been pretty slow, just quieter over the last 5 or 6 years. And I see what I call imprints on our life stream that happen around puberty. So for the baby boomers, that advent of feminism was the imprint. And our boys at that time had mothers that stayed home and made their lunches and washed their clothes. And then their generation of women went out into the workplace. So it was a real big difference from what we'd experienced over countless generations, where male and female roles were really clearly defined. And women were home and domestic, and the men went out and made the living. So that was just a huge challenge that our generation faced in our relationship realm. And then the sort of free love, free sex thing that happened for some of us, I think, caused a lot of upsets in our fidelity to marriage, our level of commitment to marriage. Because you can have a lot of fun playing in that field, you know. And I've worked with swingers, which are typically couples that agree to go and party with other couples. and yet they need a really strong base to go out and do that from.
And when you say strong base, you mean personally? Like, did you find that some of the males might have jealousy or envy or they don't care? Or where's the trust between them and their partner, and then they go out swinging? Do they share that with you, how they that makes them feel at a deeper level, honestly, versus just on the surface, oh, well, it's okay. But do they share with you on a deeper level, well, I might have said it's okay, but really I was feeling...
Well, I'm a big fan of written agreements, which people are always hesitant to do, and yet it really makes you think about what your wants and needs are and how those are different and what your absolutely not things are, you know, like you really kind of go over potential scenarios and feel into the level of discomfort and what you would need to make that a good experience versus a bad one. So it's a process of looking at values, like why are we doing this? Why do we want to go be swingers? And it's usually one person in the partnership is more interested in than the other. And it's usually the men that are more interested than the women. But it's a whole culture. And there's a lot of good that can come from it. For one thing, that clarity of purpose and the list of these will not happen. You know, you won't spend the night with someone. You're going to always come back to me as an example. And then it's so powerful to have those feelings of jealousy, envy, competition come up and be able to process them within the relationship. And that's how people grow.
Yeah.
And most people I know that were swingers were in it for a while. And then
swingers are the same thing as like poly relationships, you know?
Very different.
Very different. Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
The swingers are like they have cruises where couples go and they are all going to exchange partners.
Yeah, there was a huge event in Great Britain this summer.
Really?
Yeah, for swingers on somebody's farm. They said, well, let them do whatever they want, as long as they pay me my lease.
All right. Well, polyamory is a whole other ball game because people are actually creating family structure. I think it's hopefully a path that we're going to follow out of pure monogamy because it's so much better for the kids.
Well, what is pure monogamy?
Polyamory.
Uh-huh. And you just use another term.
I did? What was it?
I thought it was...
We'll have to play it back and listen.
Well, that part we'll get edited.
Okay. Yeah.
Continue on then.
Yeah, so polyamory is when, let's just make an example of two women and a man, and they decide collectively they're going to share a house. One woman might stay home, the man and the other woman might work and bring in funds, and then the babies come. So polygamy is a legal term, and we, you know, understand that through the Mormons and the sects that have left the Mormon church to practice polygamy. But polyamory is, the word means more love. Okay?
Yeah, because I've read some articles and magazines on that, and it sounds like there's an agreement between partners that, yeah, you could go out and... Then this is where I get confused with swingers and stuff. And have a relationship, an intimate relationship with another female or another man. And I wonder in your work if you come across couples that may do that. And do they ever get into where their judgments might lie or observations or needs or what's their needs? What causes them to want to actually explore that?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think variety is one thing. And then couples, after they've been together for a while, tend to have less sex. and especially as babies arrive, and then just keeping everything working. Women get exhausted doing everything they do in a week, and it's Friday night, and it's just, there's not a lot of passion because there's exhaustion. So creating time together is really important. But let's go back a minute to something you said earlier. I would have called that scenario you described open marriage, where a couple's married and for whatever reason, one of them or both of them are given each other permission to go out and have other partners. That can be really tricky because the people they're having sex with might have a different motivation or agenda,
right?
To helping them maintain their relationship. So every situation is unique. I think polyamory to me is so intriguing because I've watched it work in tantric communities, and people raise children. There's more abundance in the household because there's more people working, and the kids get so much more attention. And there's a mama at home or a daddy, you know. And so there's all kinds of words we can describe these different scenarios, but each of us and in partnership have the ability to create whatever we want to explore and try out with really clear agreements and remembering that the most important piece is creating that foundation that is bonded, connected, vulnerable, sharing, open to explore, and also very tuned into the other person's emotional states and needs. So
how would a couple do that? And because this could relate not only to a poly or a swinger type relationship, but also to a monogamous relationship. What can they do to check in with each other, so to speak, on feelings and needs and where they're at the time, and even in their personal sensual or sexual relationship?
One thing I would always tell couples is you've got to get your schedules and set at least 2 hours on a day or an afternoon, you know, maybe a weekend, where you are in the bedroom with the door closed and the kids know that mommy and daddy are having private time. Nobody bothers us unless somebody's bleeding, you know, or knocked out somehow, and give the kids a video or something, get them on a sleepover. But it's critical. It's really important. Men feel more connected to their partner through sex. That's just the way it is. Women, being much more emotionally complex and having so much more attention on a lot of things instead of just going to work and coming home. You know, like once you're a mother, you're always tuned in to where the kids are and what they're doing and that kind of thing.
I can understand that. And so from a male standpoint, I understand what you say. So how can we as males maybe honor that woman's place a little bit more? Like, for instance, maybe through a tantric experience of more, what would you call it, foreplay or something where the experience isn't just, we're behind the doors for 2 hours and we're going to make love. And we call it making love, and it might actually be sex versus real love, a real connection. What can us males do to connect better with our mate?
Yeah, well, in tantra, there's a whole teaching about the men being in charge of setting the container for the time together. So simple things like soft music, lighting candles. You might run her a bath and drop a little run of petals from the front door when she comes home from work at night, you know, and honor her, respect her, worship the goddess and your lady. Give her time to debrief about her day, and then you can do that. Tantra has so many beautiful practices that are about heart connection. I work with men to let go of an agenda, which is really hard because men have that drive to get to the ejaculation.
Right. Okay.
And that's sex to them, but there's so much more to it.
Sure. So So for me as a male, mm-hmm. personally, if I want to get this feeling of more intimacy and connection with my wife mm-hmm. when we make love, then what happens, so let's say we do some of this tantric suggestions like you say, which, mm-hmm. you know, we've done in the past, but I notice for me, I tend to tune in more to my feminine side. Mm-hmm. What would it feel like? I get into this whole thing of what would it feel like if I was the receiver?
Nice. That's a really good practice. Men are not very great at receiving because they want to be the doer. Mm-hmm. And women aren't that great at receiving. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something we can all practice, mm-hmm. is just letting someone serve us, letting someone adore us, mm-hmm. being open to having somebody rub our feet and just be there with us, feed us. I mean, there's so many things you can do.
Yeah.
And yet, in our busy lives, we don't prioritize that kind of thing at all. That sort of setting that sacred space in the bedroom and being with each other without some sort of pre-established agenda about yeah. how we're going to be together.
Okay, so what would you recommend? So some of this stuff, like you said, putting the flowers on the floor and lighting candles, and that's all kind of external.
It is.
So what could we do as a male to really connect with our mate before we even get started? To just have some kind of a contact, let's say heart to heart. Because that other stuff is just, oh yeah, that's nice and it feels good and it's sensual. But it's not that real connection.
Yeah. And I hear you that men are seeking that, and they feel like sex is the way to get that need met. And so that's sort of the driving force, getting kind of back from that end result and being with a woman and delighting in her company. There's all kinds of breathing patterns. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. There's spooning. There's just telling her how much you adore her breasts. Mm-hmm. These breasts fed our children, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Helping her feel good in her body. Mm-hmm. And especially as we age, women tend to judge their bodies really harshly and get inhibited around mm-hmm. the way their bodies are. As we get older, there's so many tools to overcome the creaky knees, the back, the low back, and all that. There's incredible tools, liberator cushions.
And it's not even for us 60-somethings, but mm-hmm. also for the 30s and 40-somethings.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, what happens? I mean, does a woman start getting more self-conscious when her mate might be looking at somebody in their late 20s versus somebody in their 40s? Or
there's insecurities that mm-hmm. pop up, you know, and it's grist for the mill to find out where that first happened in her life and how she can overcome that sense of insecurity. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's something both people do to help each other feel secure in the relationship. I mean, we're in a phase of male-female relationships where we don't have a rule book anymore. It got thrown out with feminism, and I'm glad feminism happened. It needed mm-hmm. to happen, but we had no model for how to move forward with male-female and keeping our maleness and our femaleness. So one thing that's sad to me is that when women went into the workplace, they had to match the masculine energy in the workplace. Mm-hmm. They couldn't go in as women, you know. They had to become male-like women to compete, to mm-hmm. get up the ladder, all those kinds of things. So validating femininity in women, I think, is really important, and we're so far from it now. And especially in some place like Montana or Colorado, women wear the same clothes men do now.
Sure. The cowgirl and the cowboy.
And it makes sense. I mean, right. It's a harsh environment sometimes. So, you know, finding...
Well, you even look at it in a lot of, like, for instance, in all over the place, Montana, Colorado, whatever, people are, the male and female are into mountain climbing, mm-hmm. skiing, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're both in that same vigorous... You know.
Yeah, but that can be really good for lovemaking because they're in good shape. No. They
all
could
right,
work
but,
out well.
Yeah.
Get up in the mountains.
But how do we as males get into that emotion or that feeling where we can, I don't know how to put it, let our guard down or let our vulnerability be exposed to where we don't have that real masculine drive to get to the goal, you mm-hmm. know, but where we maybe slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it eye contact? Is there something we can do to
it's
just
all of it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, massage, soul gazing, mm-hmm. or eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
The breath patterns can open the heart space in that exchange breath with hands on heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's just all kinds of ways to help stuff come up too. Sacred spot massage for women
mm-hmm.
is one of them. They used to call it the G spot for the man that discovered it, Graffenberg. Hope I never meet him. He's probably dead by now.
I'm not sure we can say that on the show, but
oh, yeah?
Keep going. I don't know.
We'll
find out.
Yeah, but the audacity of naming a female body part after yourself.
Right.
As a male doctor, mm-hmm. I mean, please.
Right.
But it's the nerve endings behind the clitoris,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of tricky to find it, locate it, and then there are different ways to manipulate it. But women store their emotional content around their sexuality in that area of the vagina, giving birth, for instance, or gynecological exams that were not respectful or gentle. There's just a lot that's stored there, so people can work through layers of releasing states of trauma or discomfort
through
spot massage.
All right,
yeah.
and that's on the woman's side, but I imagine there's a lot of us guys out there that have had some sort of trauma that we
yeah.
never looked at it as
oh,
being
yeah.
trauma.
Yep.
And how can a woman help us get through that?
Mm-hmm.
And do you find in some of your work with couples or just males,
mm-hmm.
do you find that they're willing to tell their story about their trauma and how it might be blocks in their intimate relationship with women?
Sure. I mean, some people are much more sensitive and affected by things that happen. There's probably not a man on the planet that didn't have something happen to his testicles during
mm-hmm.
sports or somebody hitting him or riding a bike or whatever, you know? I mean, there's just always trauma to the genitals that...
Or how about name-calling or...
Oh, yeah.
When we
bully
were
stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Growing up. I mean, men are...
Yeah.
Constantly, I go on a construction site, you know.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, it's a rough world, I guess. I'd mm-hmm. like to see it shift, and I think the way it will shift is to get people more in tune with their own feelings so that they can relate to others' feelings. And we all struggle, and this culture is immature sexually. We're like about a 13, 14-year-old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get educated about sex still. I started a student group called Sacred Sex Salon in Boulder, and our tagline was, we are going to talk about it. And I thought these kids, you know, I started with 18-year-olds at Naropa, and I thought that they would have some education about sexuality, but they didn't. They were mm-hmm. homeschooled or Montessori. One girl told me that they got to color vaginas in Montessori school. I don't know. But, you know, it's a real sad thing, because if you ask an adult, a parent, well, do you want your child to have a healthy sex life and relationship? And the adult will always say, yeah, of course. But they don't take the task of helping each stage of development in their child with the sexuality piece.
Well,
in an appropriate
way. And
ways.
I could relate to that, being a parent. Mm-hmm. And the way I was taught sex was through a physiology book.
Right.
My dad would drop that on the table and, here, read this.
Oh!
All right, so that's physiology.
At least you had something to read.
Yeah.
I was desperate to
read. Well, lo and behold, of course, I didn't know how to share that with my sons.
Yeah.
And or with my daughter.
Right.
So I had nothing to go by, and I know if I look back on that right now, I mean, the feeling I'm getting right now is how I felt a little embarrassed or scared.
Yeah.
You know, scared. What am I going to say? How am I going? Are they going to listen to me? Does it mean anything? Well, they're going to learn it on the street, maybe. And so I bypassed a lot of my... I felt gypped in that area. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And gypped's probably not a feeling, but I felt there was some lack there in my upbringing, which I regret. So, and I have regret that I wasn't able to pass anything on to my children.
It's really
how
hard.
Could a male overcome that and actually be a father to sons and daughters? What do we have to do?
I think we have to get more mature around our sexuality as a culture. And we've got all these barrage of images of women's bodies being accessible and available, and it looks like everybody in the world's having sex but us, you know. That it's so there, and that women are accommodating men's sexual needs. So really, it's more about men accommodating women's sexual needs, and their needs are met within that. We need to change it, you know, shift it, because women's needs are much more complex, and in understanding those, men start to connect to their own feminine and their own emotional needs and expression. So women are very deep and rich, and not that men aren't, but women tend to process more. They remember more about their childhoods. They'll remember traumatic events more often than men do often. And I hate to say men do this and women do this, because it's, you know, it's not true.
There's, yeah, but
in general.
It's not necessarily true, but it could be true.
Yeah.
And so when you're working with both sides, and especially with the male side, since this is the Men's Network Radio.
Yeah.
when you're working with males, is there any suggestions you make in terms of them getting into a group or a group discussion or something where they can connect with some of these deeper feelings and emotions, mm-hmm. and needs? How can we as males overcome this stigma that, oh, that's for women to do? Oh, I'm not going to go to the NVC group today because, you know, it's just all gals.
I know.
Oh, I can't share that. I am the male.
It's about emotional intelligence,
that?
You know, mm-hmm. being able to label feelings when we feel them, and then understanding appropriate expression of them. Emotions are just information. They're not bad.
That's interesting.
You know, it's just, okay, I'm noticing this twist in my stomach area. That's probably some sort of communication from my body saying, this is a little off. This might not be the right thing to do.
Kind of a somatic thing.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have them stay with that feeling? I'm feeling a twist in my stomach.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? How do you guide them through
that? Oh, you could ask about what color it is. Have them, you know, if you start putting words to something, you start to understand it better. You may just be making it up, but it's still, you're articulating something about the feeling. I like to ask people to make the sound of what this is that they're feeling tense about, or what's twisted in their stomach. Just growl or moan, or, you know, make a noise. Any kind of outer expression is going to inform the sense in the body. Somatic psych is really the best label, or the best flavor of psychology, because our emotions live in our bodies. It's not mental. We can't talk ourselves out of a feeling or a state. And the healthy thing to do is express it, not repress it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's so easy for us to think about our feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like a roaring river right now.
Yeah.
Well, how does a roaring river feel?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, but how does that feel? There's not a feeling, right?
Well, but so it's an image. It's a
start.
But it's an
image, okay.
And so roaring, let me hear that. How does roaring sound, you know? And
okay.
What is water? It's emotional. Body.
Oh.
You know, fluids represent the emotional. Water's the most powerful force on the planet, and it is a feminine element.
Okay, so I'm feeling like a roaring river.
Yeah.
Where are you going to take me now? Okay, so it's an emotion. Water is an emotion.
Uh-huh. And how do you ride it?
You want to play this?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like a roaring river.
All right. Where are you headed on that river?
Where am I heading on that river?
Do you know where you're going?
I'm I'd actually like to find an eddy someplace.
And that would be more peaceful?
It would be.
So roaring down the river.
So right now,
yeah.
Right now for me,
as
when you kept asking me the roaring river, where am I going? So I'm feeling it right here in the middle of my chest, right there.
Wow.
And when I say I want to find an eddy, I feel a sense of relief, maybe some calmness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does that relate to your life? Would the roaring river represent your day, and then that need for slowing things down and peace? Would that be your relationship, or how would you relate the
two? Well, that's interesting, because this I'm relating it to our whole conversation here.
Ah, very good.
And we've discussed a lot.
No kidding. We went all over the place.
We went all over the place.
That's kind of what I do. I teach in tangents.
And that eddy, that calmness I want to feel is I want to be able to step back and take a look at everything and see in an honest way how I feel about connecting with others, male, female, a deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm in a place right now where I want to have a nice, deep connection in a calm atmosphere with somebody, eye to eye, heart to heart. And I miss that.
When was the last time you had it?
You know, it's interesting because I feel like I've been having some connections, but they're fleeting connections. It happens with a hug or, oh, hi, how are you, Jim? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm doing great, you know, and a hug or something like that. And then we didn't take the time to actually connect.
Yeah.
To really connect. So there's the river roaring.
Yeah.
Made a nice, sweet connection and a hug with somebody.
As you
and it's over.
Flew by, yeah.
You're down the stream, you know.
It takes creating time to do that. I'm somebody that loves deep, long conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go anywhere as long as they're deepening, you know. It's our culture. We don't even talk on the phone anymore. People don't answer their phones.
Right. Well, I find myself, too, like especially with the female, and even males, you know, is like, where, you know, taking the time. It's like I find myself not being the, taking, I don't want to say take control of the connection, but being a a participant. For whatever reason, I feel a little self-conscious.
Mm.
Self-conscious.
Where do you feel that in your body?
Right now, a little bit in my gut.
Yeah.
And I feel my breathing is a little short. So it's, I don't know what to say or how to approach, or and I feel like I could be more courageous in terms of letting my truth out, if that makes sense. You know, letting, just saying, like in the throat right now.
Okay.
Using my throat chakra, if you want to call it that. I'm stuck right there. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to connect with you right now, for instance, other than this conversation we're having on the radio.
Yeah. Uh-oh. But not all about that.
On a personal level, now, and this is what the Men's Network Radio is all about, guys, is for us to really get in touch. And so right now, on a personal level, right now, I just want to hold hands.
Okay. That's, you know, beautiful.
That's what I want to do right now.
Yeah. And you were able to state that. That's super.
Yeah. And, geez, on the air even. That's pretty spooky.
So we're holding hands. And how does that feel?
Feels warm.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, you got a nice warm hand. And feels good. Look at this. This is like a brother handshake.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. Yeah.
And
you are my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Every man is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman is my sister.
Mm.
And we've all hurt each other in all kinds of ways, and we can heal that. You know, we can get beyond the confusion by clarity.
Boy, and that's what I would, that's deep in my heart.
Yeah, I can tell it is.
Yeah, deep in my heart to make that kind of connection all over the world.
Yes, it's time. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Jade, this is real, gang out there. Jade, I want to thank you very much. This has been fantastic, and thanks for, wow, that was free consultation.
Thank you.
I really did get in touch. That was real.
Yeah, and your feelings were real. That raging river was so clear.
I didn't even know where I was going with that.
Yeah. That's what showed up, though. That's kind of gestalt, you know? It's like you're just in a conversation and something comes in that's not real rational, but it's got stuff with it, you know?
I've got very good vibrational feeling right now going all over my body. And at that note, we're going to end with Men's Radio Network. We'll return next week. And Jade, again, I want to thank you. Jade's got a couple websites, www.50shadesofjade.org and jade@50shadesofjade.org.
That's my
email. That's your email.
Yeah. You can Google, or you can put in sensualwisdom.com and read about intimacy consulting. And the 50 Shades of Jade was created about 6 or 7 years ago, because I had 5 or 6 websites and I wanted to get them all in one place. And 50 Shades of Grey was really popular there for a while, so I've got a little bit to share about that on my site. And you can read some of my writings and some of my projects and that kind of thing.
Great.
So I really enjoyed our time.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'd love to have you back in the future.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, and thank you very much. And that's a take.